The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 27, verses 27 to 29. It is page 236 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea, when about midnight the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. Amen. Today's text testifies about what happened on the 14th night. It was 14th night since the ship from Alexandria had left the fair haven of Crete Island to sail. In other words, it was the 14th night since the ship had ran into the gale, northeaster. This is from verse 27. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea, when about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. That night, the ship was being tossed to and fro on the Adriatic Sea. Adriatic Sea is the sea which is in front of the Melite Island, today's Malta Island in the Mediterranean Sea, where the people on board of the Alexandrian ship, well, dramatically land. In terms of distance, it's about 800 kilometers away from Fair Haven of Crete Island, where the ship had sailed from. The ship, which had ran into Northeaster, had been swept away to Adriatic Sea, which was no less than 800 kilometers away during those 14 days. During those 14 days, it wasn't the case that the sun came up in the morning and the stars shone at night. Only a thick darkness, in which neither sun nor the stars could be seen, continued. It was impossible to tell how many days had passed in such a situation. But the start of the text tells us that it was the night of the 14th day. In midst of such night, it would not have been possible to tell just with eyes whether the Alexandrian ship had arrived at Adriatic Sea while it had been in the vast Mediterranean Ocean. Luke, however, was able to record the number of days and the location exactly because he was able to tell this later after he came ashore at the Melite Island. The sea did not calm down once the Alexandrian ship arrived at the Adriatic Sea. Even in the Adriatic Sea, it was still being driven across the sea. The strength of the northeaster had not completely died down even then. Right around midnight of that night, which does not mean 12 a.m., but deep in the night in original Greek, the sailors sensed that the ship was approaching land. Not only a single sailor sensed this, but many sailors felt it at the same time that the ship was nearing the land. The natives of many islands that are scattered throughout the limitless Pacific Ocean are, without exception, Polynesians, who are of the same race. The Polynesia, the word itself means many islands. It is known that the Polynesians began to spread out to the Pacific Ocean from the Southeast Asia stopping at Philippines as nearly as 3,000 years ago. And it is still a great mystery as to how such a long time ago these Polynesians were able to find and settle in islands that are several hundred kilometers apart from each other and even managed to arrive in Hawaii, which is several thousands of kilometers away, 1,200 years ago, without any equipment. Now, a long time ago, I had read something related to this. It said that Polynesians have outstanding ability to read the waves of the ocean. Even if no island is seen as far as the horizon, the ocean waves from the direction of an island are supposedly different from other waves. Polynesians are able to detect such subtle change in the movement of the waves and voyaged towards that direction. As a result, they were able to continuously discover new islands and at last were able to arrive in as far as Hawaii. Now, even if such theory is correct, we cannot apply that theory to today's text. The time that the text tells us of is not during the day when you can tell some change in the movement of the waves, but a middle of the night when you couldn't make out anything in terms of direction. Now, a long time ago, it is said that the only way sailors could tell in the middle of the night when nothing can be seen that a ship was nearing land was by sound. When land is near, there is a reverberation of the sound of the wind and the waves that are breaking on the land, and normal people can only confirm this echo when one arrives at the shore. However, veteran sailors are able to sense that echo even from afar. The sailors on the Alexandrian ship were able to sense this reverberation in the sound of the wind and the waves and mist of darkness and knew that the ship they were on was nearing land. This is a testimony of verse 28 of today's text. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. The sailors who detected the echo of the sounds of the wind and the waves took a measurement of the depth of the water from the deck of the ship. The Greek verb bolizo, which has been translated as measured in Korean, is a verb which derives from the noun bolis, which refers to a weapon like a long spear. Now, this tells us the sailors hung a heavy metal at the end of a rope to measure the depth of the sea, and this is what the expressions of the text is referring to. The result of the measurement was that it was 20 gil in Korean. The Greek word orguya, which has been translated as 20 gil in Korean, refers to a distance from the middle finger of one arm to the middle finger of the other when an adult male were to completely stretch out his arms to his sides. Now, if we assume that such distance about 1.8 meters, the depth of the water, 20 gil, would equal 36 meters. The sailors waited a bit more and took another measurement of the depth of the water again, and this time the depth of the water was about 15 gil or 27 meters. The depth had become shallower by 9 meters from the time they took their first measurement. That the depth of the water was becoming dramatically shallower was sure evidence that the ship was nearing land, as they had suspected. This is from verse 29. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In Korean Bible, the translation of the Greek verb phobio, which means to fear, has been omitted. Now, when a ship big ship is attempting to land at a shore without a harbor, the most critical thing is for the ship to avoid collision with rocks that are in the water. Now, the time of today's text is middle of a dark night when one couldn't tell by sight whether there were rocks in the ocean. Now, sailors, after they confirmed that the water was fastly becoming shallower, became seized with fear that the ship may collide into a rock in the middle of the night. Now, they dropped four anchors from the stern, which is at the tail end of the ship, so that the ship couldn't move forward and stay still. Now, normally, when ship comes to a rest, the anchors are let down from the bow of the ship. But the sailors of the Alexandrian ship lowered the four anchors from the stern, which is the back part of the ship. The reason for this was due to the direction in which the winds were blowing. The Alexandrian ship, which had left Fairhaven, was driven to Adriatic Sea, swept up in a northeaster for 14 days, which was 800 kilometers away from Fairhaven. That it was driven means that the gale came from behind the ship during the whole 14 days. Even in Adriatic Sea, the Alexandrian ship was being driven. The wind that was blowing from behind had not ceased, even when they had gotten to Adriatic Sea. Now, if they were to lower the anchor from the bow, it was clear that the ship, not being able to withstand the strength of the wind from behind, would spin around in 360 degrees. And so the sailors dropped the four anchors from the stern for this reason. That way, the center of the weight of the ship would move towards the back of the ship and allow the ship to withstand the wind that was blowing from behind. This tells us that they were veteran sailors. And the sailors, in the middle of that night, prayed for daylight. It was so that as soon as the day broke, they could arrive at land, which was surely at hand, without running into some rock. This was the only way they could completely escape the power of Northeaster, which they had run into in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. This probably was not true for the sailors only. That the sailors were taking measurements of the depth of the water, let down the anchors, and anchored the ship was a clear indication that land was near. And the passengers who were aboard in the ship probably prayed for the daybreak to come as soon as possible with the same heart. And we can sympathize how they must have felt as they waited for the daybreak with the hope that they might live again after the 14th night after they had run into Northeaster. Now here we must ask a basic question. The Northeaster was not an ordinary storm that ships sailing the Mediterranean often run into. It was a storm of death that swallowed up everything. The sailors couldn't control the ship in that mad gale. Now, the moment the deathly northeaster came up on the ship from Alexandria completely got out of control of the sailors. On the second day, so that the ship would not capsize, they had to throw over all the cargo except for emergency food, throwing out all material possessions that their owner so had wanted to keep. When the gale still did not die down on the third day, the sailors had to throw away even important equipment on the ship. Now, none of these happened by the light of the day. They happened in the middle of a thick darkness when people could not tell whether it was day or night. They didn't even know the direction in which the ship was being swept away. Now, it's unlikely that these people, who probably had a hard time even keeping their balance on the ship, were in a situation where they could eat or drink anything. They didn't eat or drink for many days. And verse 20 describes their situation as follows. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. In the middle of the thick darkness, in which neither the sun nor the stars appeared, the people who had not eaten or drank anything for days finally let go of any hope of being saved. They simply gave up the final hope that perhaps they could survive the terrible storm. All of them fell into the despair of death in having given up on everything. Now, at the time, people believed that sea was a place where gods punished people for what they had done wrong. The people who were on board of that Alexandrian ship also probably thought that they were dying because they were being punished by gods. Now, this kind of days of just giving up on everything and falling into despair continued not for 3 or 4 days, but 14 days. Now, have you ever starved for a couple days? If we couldn't eat or drink in the middle of thick darkness, where neither the sun nor stars shone, so that we had completely given up all hope, would we have any senses left? And even if our senses were still with us, would they work right when we had not eaten or drank anything for 14 days of continuous despair? But these sailors were different. Although they had let go of the last string of hope in midst of despair of death, they were able to sense the reverberations of the sounds of the wind and the waves breaking into shore in the middle of the 14th night. They immediately got up and measured the depth of the water twice. When they confirmed that the water was rapidly becoming shallower, they let down the 4 anchors from the stern so that the ship would not run into a rock in the middle of the night. And they prayed that the daylight would come as soon as possible. And the passengers who watched them also prayed for the daybreak to come as soon as possible. Even a moment ago, there were people who had let go of all hope of being delivered. People who had let go of the final hope of surviving. But now, they are praying for the daylight to come as soon as possible. The morning that they were waiting for was not merely a clock time that announced that a day has started. The morning they were expecting was a morning of hope the hope that they can live after all. The people of despair who had been swallowed up in despair over death have now changed 100 degrees to change into people of hope who are praying for the morning of hope. What made this possible? What was in between their despair and its opposite, their hope? As we know very well, Apostle Paul was there. If we were to be more precise, God was in between despair and hope. God held Paul, who became swept up in the deathly northeaster with his words. And Paul declared the words of hope that God had given to him to people who are swallowed up in the despair over death. This is from verses 23 to 26. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island." At that time of despair, when everyone was urging on their death, there was only one person, Paul, who declared the words of hope that God would save them. The people who became swallowed up in the death of despair held on to the words of hope declared by Paul, desperate to hang on to anything. Faith always provides new strength. In the bodies of people who believed in the words of hope declared by Paul, their senses started to come alive again. As if in a miracle, the sailors who had not eaten or drank for 14 days in the midst of deathly despair were able to detect the echo of the sounds of the wind and the waves breaking onto shore. They immediately got up and measured the depth of the water, let down the anchors to anchor the ship, and waited for the daybreak to come along with the rest of the passengers. The Greek verb yukomai, which has been translated as expect in Korean, has the original meaning of to pray. All of them prayed with all of their hearts that the new morning of hope will dawn without anything bad happening. And needless to say, that prayer was directed to God, who had given the words of hope through Paul. The people who were swept up in the northeaster and had lost all rays of hope, they had possessions that they wanted to protect. They had social status and position. Of course, they probably had families and friends they loved. But no one, nothing, could save them from the despair of death which has swallowed them up. The only person who could change these people of despair to people of prayer who expect a new morning was God. But if Apostle Paul had not been on that ship, a new hope from God could not have been given to them who had fallen into despair. God, who is spirit, always uses people as his pathway. Even in the middle of deathly northeaster, God used Paul, his whipperettes and martyrs, as his pathway to grant new hope of salvation to people who are swallowed up by death. In his epistles, Paul uses the Greek noun elpis, which means hope, in no less than 30 times. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? The only person who could pull him, a sinner, who could but die, up from the pit of death was God, who made his only son pay for his sins in his stead. To Paul, that God was always the God of hope. Without this hope from God, Paul could not even exist. Therefore, Paul, through all his life, on God of hope. What is important is that when Paul threw all of his life on God of hope, God used Paul as pathway to give new hope to people who were swallowed up in despair of death in midst of Northeaster. Now, recently during our district Bible study, we learned about Moses. This is from Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. A male Hebrew slave married a female Hebrew slave and gave birth to a Hebrew boy slave. That a man marries a woman and gives birth to a child is a common thing that we can see anywhere on this earth. There is nothing special about it. However, the work of God always happens through the ordinary daily events. From the moment that the male Hebrew slave and the female Hebrew slave married and gave birth to Moses, the work of salvation of God for the liberation of his people from slavery in Egypt began. There was no outward change that could be seen immediately. The people of Israel continued to suffer under harsh labor of slavery. But by one male Hebrew slave marrying one female Hebrew slave and giving birth to Moses, the salvation of God began its countdown. Now Moses' parents too believed in God of hope. They did not obey the order of Pharaoh, which decreed that if a slave gave birth to a son, the boy was to be killed by being thrown in the Nile River. They bet their lives in order to protect the life of a child of God whom God had entrusted to them. They did so because they had hope that God will, without fail, take care of that child. Moses, who lived because of his parents, also bet his life on God of hope. In obedience of the command of God, he stood up to Pharaoh alone in order to give hope of liberation to people of Israel. Through that Moses, the salvation of God became at hand for the people of Israel. God became the God of hope for the people of Israel too. And this is not all. Through Exodus, which tells us about the life of the family of Moses who had bet their lives on God of hope transcending 3,400 years of time and space. Today, too, God pours hope into countless people of this earth who are in despair. Now, this is what is important. The act of one person betting his or her life on God of hope does not just end as an act of faith of one person. God, by using that person as his pathway, makes his hope seep into his or her family, fellow countrymen, and further to all humanity. Until now, what has been the object of our ultimate hope? Money? Academic degree? Success? Power? Reputation? As we live in this world, those things could be important at times. But isn't there so many problems in our lives that cannot be solved with money? And think about how many times we agonize, actually, because we happen to have some money. Isn't it also the case that academic pedigree and success cannot protect us against despair? Look at what is happening in politics in this country. Isn't power on the earth the very fetter of despair? There is nothing in this world that can save us from the despairs in this world. The only person who can take care of us in midst of all kinds of despairs that try to swallow us up in this life is God, who has made his only Son the sacrifice on the cross for us and made him live again. Therefore, God is God of hope, who always makes us look forward to a new morning of hope, regardless of the kind of despair we are in. Let all of us bet our lives on God of hope. Even today, God of hope will use us as his pathway to make countless people who are in despair of death to wait for a new morning of hope. There is no life that is more hopeful than a life lived at the pathway of hope, which is used by God of hope for the sake of people who have been swallowed up in despair of death. And so today too, Paul, who was used as the pathway of hope by God of hope in the middle of the deathly northeaster, has this wish for us through Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Oh, may the God of green hope fill you up with joy, fill you up with peace, so that your believing lives, filled with the life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit, will brim over with hope. Let us pray. Lord, as the days go by, the night streets become ever more glamorous and brighter. But the hearts of people are covered in thick darkness. When we look around the world, there are only bleak events, bleak accidents, bleak stories. It is hard to find hope in politics, economy, social, defense, anywhere we turn. Rather, only the sounds of despair have come have overcome the scene. Lord, help us not to forget that the hope is not something that is given from below or from the sides, but only from above, from God. Help us not to repeat the foolishness of looking for hope in this world and in depth despairing. May we bet our lives on God of hope in Jesus Christ, who lived again in 3 days. Therefore, through us, may the people who have fallen into despair of death come to expect a new morning of hope. Allow us to live a full life full of hope, which is used as a pathway of hope by God of hope all our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.